Trumos, Per Gimel, Mishnah Tes, 3:9. We're now going to talk about separations that were taken by non-Jews. Fascinating question. You'll recall from the beginning of the Masechta, the first Mishnah said that a non-Jew can't take Truma. But that was referring to a non-Jew taking Truma on behalf of Jewish produce. Our Mishnah here is considering the question, what happens if a non-Jew has his own field in Eretz Yisrael, and he grows his wheat over there, and he wants to separate some wheat as Truma and give it to a Kohen? He wants to do the right thing. He wants to do a mitzvah. Is that effective? When he says it's Truma, does that even work? Does it do anything? So our mission is going to come out according to the Tanna Kamma and the Halacha is yes, it is effective. There's a lot of like potential baggage here about contingencies and how we deal with the issue of if when a non-Jew owns a piece of Eretz Yisrael, does that exempt it from tithing and so on. In this Mishnah, the Tanna Kamma holds the non-Jew's property in Eretz Yisrael is for sure obligated in tithing and potential, and if the non-Jew gives it, it is binding, and indeed it is what he said it is, and it is Truma if he calls it Truma. And not only that, the Rambam in the Perish Mishnah speaks out, and he also elaborates quite importantly in the Yad at the end in Hilchos Melachim, that a non-Jew who does such a thing will get sechar. He's headed to heaven on behalf of his mitzvah. In other words, he's fulfilling a mitzvah by giving truma. Even though he's ain a mitzvah, he's not commanded to give truma. He's only commanded in the seven mitzvahs, or seven categories of mitzvahs, I'll even call them, that non-Jews have to keep. And giving truma certainly isn't on that list of seven. But if he does, he will get reward for it, meaning in Shemaim, in heaven, in the afterward life, provided other conditions are met, whatever it is, but all things being equal, he'll get reward for it. And just he gets reward as an einu mitzvah v'osa. He gets a lesser reward because he's getting the reward of someone who is not commanded, yet he does it. So the same way, anytime a person does a good deed, but he's not mitzvah, he's not commanded to do it, so then he'll have less reward than someone who did the act because he was commanded to do it. So why that would be, maybe it's beyond the scope of this mission right now, but it certainly occurs, like, for example, women are exempt from shaking a lulav on Sukkos. Like we said lots of times, there are eight mitzvahs, asesh as mangrama, eight mitzvahs that are time-bound that women are exempt from, and one of them is shaking a lulav. And if a woman does shake a lulav, she will get schar, she'll get reward, but not as much reward as a man, because she's an einu mitzvah va'osa. She has not been commanded to shake a lulav, so when she does it anyways, her act is a meritorious act, but there's less merit. Again, why that would be is not the topic I want to discuss right now. In any case, so that's what's happening here. So the Tanna Kamma therefore says, Hanachri, a non-Jew, va'kusi. You'll recall the Kusim were those Samaritans. They were brought from Kusa in the time of after Babylonians exiled the Jews from the north, the Assyrians, after the Assyrians chased away the 10 lost tribes in the north in Israel, so they replaced that population with the Kusim, and the Kusim were questionable if they were Jewish or not Jewish, because they, after being attacked by lions, they decided that it must be the local god doesn't agree with their behavior, and they converted to being Jewish. But there's always a question if it was a legitimate conversion or if it was a lion conversion, if you will, a lion inspired in conversion, not a Hashem inspired conversion. And there's actually a split in the Tanaim if they're really Jewish or not Jewish. So that persists throughout the Mishnayos. After the Mishnah is closed, it's discovered that these Kusim, the Samaritans, who are still around today in small numbers, by the way, have an idol set up in Har Grizim in the shape of a dove, and therefore they're certainly have a status of being non-Jewish. But in the time of the Mishnah, it was not clear, and this Mishnah seems to lump the Kusi, the Samaritans, with the Nachri, the non-Jews. So it seems to treat them as non-Jews. But even so, both the Nachri, the non-Jew, and the Kusi, the Samaritan, or whatever his status is that if Truma san Truma, if they separate Truma, it is binding. What they separate is Truma has the status of Truma, meaning for example, now a non-Kohen may not eat that food because it's Truma. Midoraisa holds the Tanna Kamma. Umasrosei and Maser. Similarly, if they separate Maser for Levi, that's binding. Vegdesh and Hekdesh. And what they separate as Hekdesh, meaning they say this animal should be an Ola, they take a sheep and say this will be a Korban as an Ola, that's also binding, like a Jew. And actually, the reason why they can separate Truma and Maser and be binding is because there's Sukkim that allow for a non-Jew to create an animal to be an ola as a korban, and they can actually bring that animal to the base of Mikdash, and it will be offered, etc., on the Mizbeach. So since they have the power to create a korban ola, they have the power to create Truman Meister as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Lenochri Kerem Ravayim. Totally off topic. Let's just skip that for a minute. Okay, and the Chum Yeshlo say, yes, they do have Ravai. We'll come back to that. But the next line I want to focus on now, we'll come back to the other part. Truma Sanachri, the Tanakhama holds, the Truma that's designated by the non-Jew, it's full-blown Truma in every sense, Truma Midoraisa, and because of that, it's Midama'as. It creates the Dimua mixture, meaning if some of the Truma that a Nachri sets aside falls in with Chulin, the mixture isn't going by the usual rules of majority. But if you have min bamino mixing together, two of the same type of food mixing together, you need to have more than 99 times or 100 times of the permissible food stuff to annul the one part of truma that fell in. And also, v'chayavin alei chomesh, we say many times, if a zar, a non-Kohen, inadvertently eats truma, so he has to, of course, he's like an unintentional thief, so they have to replace what he stole, for sure, by eating the truma. He ate these four truma grapes. He'll have to replace with four other grapes to give to the Kohen. But in addition, there's like an additional penalty, which is to add a fifth grape, a chomesh, as part of his atonement process. Even if it's ma'akev, it's required. And that being the case, we're saying since the truma that a non-Jew separates is bona fide truma midoraisa, if a non-Kohen eats the truma set aside by a non-Jew, he has to replace not just what he ate, but also chomesh, and a fifth one for every four he ate. Fine. And Rabbi Shimon Poter, Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and he says, no, there's no obligation to give a chomesh, because Rabbi Shimon holds that the truma that a non-Jew separates is not real truma, it's only truma midrabanan, meaning the rabbi said, okay, we'll treat it as truma, we'll pretend it's truma, it'll have a rabbinic status of truma, but it's only truma midrabanan, not midoraisa, and that being the case, it doesn't have the power to do things like require chomesh, etc. Fine. But halach is actually like the Tanakhama, meaning we paskin, l'chora, that the truma that a non-Jew separates is indeed truma. Okay, now I skipped something there about Ravai. Let me go back to that now. So Ravai means fourth, and there's a machlokas tanaim, and it crops up throughout the Mishnayos, if this fourth, referring to fourth year of produce, applies to all trees, fourth year fruit for all trees, or if it applies just to the fourth year produce of a vineyard, okay? Our Mishnah refers to Kerem Ravai, meaning the fourth year produce of a vineyard. Let's just stick to that. Let's talk about grapevines and assume that's the scope of it, although the halacha, we actually treat the requirements of Ravai to apply to all fruit trees in. So here's the backstory. When a fruit tree or grapevine, for its first 3 years, all the grapes on the vine, all the fruit is totally forbidden. It's called orla. Totally forbidden. The same word as the foreskin prior to Bris Mila, also called orla, same word. It's forbidden, it's prescribed, it's set aside, it's not for consumption. So those are the first 3 years. In the fourth year, so the produce has a status of not orla anymore, it's permissible, but it's restricted. It's called Ravai, fourth year produce, and it's treated the same way that Meister Sheni is treated, meaning that it's taken up to Yerushalayim, and it can be redeemed onto a coin, it's eaten over there, it has to be eaten there, but Tahara, etc. So the question our mission is considering is, if a non-Jew owns a field, or in this case, let's say a vineyard, if his grapes in the fourth year have a status of Ravai or not. There's a bit of a split in the Mefarshim before talking about Eretz Yisrael or even Chutz La'aretz. So that's fascinating. The requirements of Orla certainly apply outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. Although their application is a little different, but they apply outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. So here the Mishnah says, inside, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Lenochri Kerem Ravai. Rabbi Yehuda says, a non-Jew, his vineyard doesn't, there's no such thing as Ravai, fourth year produce in a vineyard for non-Jews. But the Chum Omrim Yeshlo, the Chum say, yes, there is. And of course, that's remarkable if you understand this referring to Chutz La'aretz, which maybe actually, which you'll have to say, because it seems that from other sources, Tosefta, so Rabbi Yehuda holds that we must be talking about Chutz La'aretz. So that'll mean the Rechum say even the Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, fourth year produce, of at least in a vineyard, by non-Jew, has all sorts of restrictions. And the halacha is like the Chachamim. Okay, so the halacha is that there is revai for fourth year produce, even if it was grown by a non-Jew. Yeah, and that's that. So that'll have big ramifications for the food we eat and how we eat it in Eretz Yisrael ad hayom hazeh, for sure.